possess you. And if you want that, I want you just to put your palms up as though you were going to receive a gift. The Bible says that if you ask Holy Spirit, He's not going to give you an alternative. He's not going to give you something that will bite you. He's not going to give you something that will never satisfy you. And I believe that there is a fresh hunger in this city and in this nation that we didn't see a year ago. There's a rising level. There's a dawn that people are looking out for. And it's Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit glory. And I believe that there's right now impartation. There are angels that come to minister to you, just for you, that are yours. They're Matthew 18. It's like, you know, you little kids have them. We need them more when we grow up. We get up to bigger nonsense than when we were little, right? So we need angels to minister to us. And so, Holy Spirit, we just thank you right now for an impartation of divine hunger. God, we thank you that you're expanding people's hearts. And I see this expander coming on the inside of people's chest cavities. And it's causing you to grow to the east and the west. And your chest is getting bigger. And for some of you, you're going to feel like you're looking at people with entirely different eyes. You're going to look at them with entirely different eyes. And some of your mind is going to argue with that. You're going to say, I don't have room for this. I don't have time for this. And God is saying, He's going to expand your capacity for people. He's going to expand your time capacity so that you're going to be able to have wisdom to make the right decisions. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you expand us into a whole new level of faith. And God says tonight He's even increasing faith. He's increasing your faith. And you know what faith is going to look like for you? It's going to look like you falling backwards and falling into the capacity of God, because God is right all around you. He's your wall of fire. And here's your glory within you. And that fire is what you want to fall into. That capacity is what you're going to have rising up within you. And the fire is going to burn around you. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for that. If you're feeling hot right now, just lift up your hands. If you're feeling hot right now, Lord, we just release fire. We just release the fire of heaven. And we thank you, God, that fire is taking over, that you're demarcating people's territory, because you love people. You love the people. And the people love the land. And I just see the love of God just touching so many all around the room. So many all around the room. Lord, we just thank you for your fire zones and your fire starters. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. I believe we receive by faith. Every time I'm in a meeting like this, I'm saying, yes, God, me more. I want that more. I'm expanding. I want love. I want to receive greater hunger. When you have a hunger, it's like a magnet. Have you noticed how hungry people are magnets to table with food? It's like their eyeballs are like they're looking for it, you know? You can't stop them, can you? Because they're ravenous. That's what we're like in the Spirit. God wants to satisfy you. And the reason why you get hungry is because there's more. There is more. And the reason why you get dissatisfied is because there is more. So, Lord, we just thank you for more tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. 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 The Lord has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of the trumpets. Shata baha kesete kinda sataku kasa mande hesetenge sata mando ho. That's so encouraging, because I was just beginning to think that in the year that we've been away, that you'd become conservative. And that was really worrying. Because, you know, last time we were here, we were toying and carrying around and prophesying. And we don't want to lose that, do we? We don't want to get old. We don't want to get stayed. We don't want to get stuck. Give someone a hug nearby. Give them a kiss. A holy kiss is a very quick one. It's very short. holy. Thank you for navigating with us through the music tonight. It's always a bit tricky. This is the fourth band we've worked with in 6 days, and it's our 12th meeting since we got to Joburg last weekend, and we love it. We're completely, unashamedly addicted to Jesus and His presence. And not just that, we're addicted to His people as well. You see, it's easy to love Jesus because He doesn't, you know, annoy us. He never gives us feedback. He doesn't give us, you know, the funny signals and get under our skin. Don't you love the body of Christ? I love the body of Christ. I was saying to the church this morning, we were in Salt Rock, and, you know, Hillsong went through a bit of a tricky time 3 weeks ago. They had a lot of media coverage that was negative. They had a whole, you know, beat up expose about some things to do with finances. They had done nothing wrong. They were just being themselves, doing really well. And so that week, our church, we have a harp and bowl meeting on a Wednesday night. It's our weekly worship, prayer, prophesy over the nation time. And we committed the whole evening to pray for Hillsong. You know why? Because we love the church. We love Anglicans. We love Baptists. We love Methodists. We love every Christian. Why? Because they're part of us. They're part of the body. Come on. It's the body. It's the body. So I'm in love with Jesus, and Jesus is in love with me, but I'm also in love with you. I'm in love with you. I don't just like you. I'm in love with you. Jesus is in love with you because you're the bride. And I don't criticize the bride. I don't pull the bride down. I don't tell Jesus what's wrong with His bride. He can do that if He wants to. Come on. None of my business to correct the bride, to try and bring adjustments and corrections. It's not my place. I'm here to help the bride look more beautiful, because Jesus is coming back for a beautiful bride. Amen. He's coming for a beautiful bride. Just look around you and think, this is the bride of Christ. It's every age, every color, every shape, every denomination. God's coming back for a beautiful bride. And I'm in love with Him. I'm in love with you. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We came a long way, 14 hours on a plane, just to be with you and tell you how much God is in love with you, how much of a plan He has for you, to reignite you, to push something into your spirit, something into your being, to say, I can do this. I can be all that God's made me to be. I don't have to retire, but I can refire. I'm not getting older. I'm getting more useful to the kingdom. Everything I've learned has prepared me for this time. Even disappointments, even the things that I failed at, even those things are preparing me for what God's got for me. All of the disciples failed Jesus in some way. And they could have just sulked and gone and taken their toys and thrown them out the cot and just gone back to fishing. Except Jesus restored them. He said, come boys, let's do it again. Let's go again. It's worth it. Say it's worth it. Say He's worth it. The nations are worth it. The church is worth it. I'm worth it. He's coming back for a radiant church. A radiant church is happy. He's not coming for a lemon-sucking, sad-faced, miserable, grumpy bride. He's coming for a happy bride. And brides, when they're preparing themselves, I don't have a lot of experience with this, but I'm told that brides prepare themselves for a long period of time. There's oils involved. There's lotions involved. There's time. There's care taken to prepare that bride for her day. Book of Esther took a whole year of preparation. Come on. To prepare herself for the king. God is preparing us for His day. And I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying the process with God. Because how many of you know that you're not what you want to be yet? But aren't you glad you're not what you used to be? Well, because we're changing from glory to glory and strength to strength. Say glory to glory and strength to strength. And so I continually have a vision of what God's got for us. I see an ever-increasing bride. I see an ever-increasing confidence in the church. I see an ever-increasing love. You see, I've been loving the wife of my youth for 32 years. Come on. Come on. It's a sign and a wonder right there. And she loves me, which is a sign and a wonder, even more than she did before. And you see, we're falling in love with each other more and more because like a good red wine, it gets better with time. We're falling more in love. We've worked out, ironed out some of the things of our youth, some of the idiosyncrasies and some of the clashes that we had. Now we argue for a short time, really strongly, and then it's over. We make up and it's a lot more fun. And why I say that is because like the body of Christ, Jesus is in love with us and he's loving us into wholeness. We have to be receptive of that love to become beautiful. If you've let your love grow cold, if something has stolen your joy, today is the day to get it back. Today is the day to get it back. Come on. Today is the day to get it back. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5. We've got about 20 minutes and then we're going to minister to people. We're going to open up for some prophetic ministry and healing and whatever else God has. God's been doing some amazing things these last 2 weeks. In Johannesburg with us and here in Salt Rock. Ephesians chapter 5. Today is the day of Pentecost. If you weren't aware of that, now you are. Verse 18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but ever be filled." Say, ever be filled. What that means is, ever be filled. It just means that you can actually get filled as often as you want to. And when you're not filled, you look grumpy. When you're not filled, you become critical. When you're not filled, you become cynical. When you're not filled, you start to leak. You start to, offerings annoy you. Prayer annoys you. People speaking in tongues annoy you. People rolling annoy you. People happier than you annoy you when you're not filled. So gauge your joy level as to how annoyed you are when people are happier than you. And I look at that. You know, we've got beautiful kids. We've got 6 lovely children between the age of 23 down to the age of 9. And one of them, our little daughter Eden, she's prone to joy. She'll, the slightest thing. In fact, once I sang for my kids, I sang them, "Ach, Please Daddy." Now, they hadn't heard it before. I didn't realize I remembered it. Anyway, I got out my guitar and I sang, "Popcorn, chewing gum, peanuts and bubble gum, ice cream, candy floss." And I went all through the whole thing. Well, my kids fell off their chairs around the dining room table, and they were laughing and screaming. They thought it was the funniest thing, especially the foot sack part. The foot sack, they thought that was very funny. They have no idea what it means. Every now and then they're like, "Dad, foot sack." With an Australian accent, it sounds really funny. But you see, what happens is one laughs and one's rolling around and the other's like, "Stop that. Oh, come on, get over it." You see, because that joy provokes us. It's like either get in or get out the way. We want a radiant church that we know how to laugh. We know joy. We know what the oil of gladness, what does it do? It makes us glad. He's given us the oil of gladness instead of a spirit of despair. How many of you want the oil of gladness instead of a spirit of despair? I'm so glad you put up your hands. It's your fault now. It's your fault. You put up your hand. I saw your hands. Amen, brother. I saw your hands. Sister, yes. Be ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So what we were doing tonight was, most of the service tonight, we hadn't rehearsed, we hadn't practiced. I know it sounded like that, but we hadn't sung those songs before. And we were trying to work with each other because we're trying to, you know, navigate through. But the Holy Spirit gives us lines and phrases that were just for you. We'll never sing those songs again because God was making you beautiful through spiritual songs. Spiritual songs, psalms and hymns. They're kind of every kind of songs. The anthems of God, the hero songs of God, the songs that remind us of who He is. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs are spontaneous songs. They're songs that just bubble up. You think, "Wow, that was nice." And we sang the songs of hope and we prophesied. We did a few new rhythms that we discovered along the way. And what do? They fill us with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being continuously filled. How are you filled? I'm glad you asked that question. While we speak and we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you can't disconnect those. We were born for worship. You see, the throne in heaven is a place of worship. It's a place of anthems. When we hear harmonies and we think, wow, what makes us feel like that is because those harmonies come from heaven. They're coming from heaven to earth. We are resonating with the sound that we hear in heaven. We're singing the songs and the phrases that God gives us. We sing them back to Him. He sings them over us. It's called the songs of the bride and the songs of the bridegroom. And there's this beautiful interplay of love between heaven and earth to heaven and heaven to earth. That's how it's meant to be. And you see, when He loves us like that, we get more radiance. We're like, that's how it's meant to be. That's how it's meant to be. Where does romance come from? Why do we love romance? Why do we love romantic stories? Why do we love a happy ending? I hate it, the ending and the good guy dies. I'm like, I just paid money. And the good guy dies. I want the bad guy to die. I want the good guys and the girl to get together at the end and get more happy. I want a happy ending. I want a happy ending. Why? Because actually we want a happy ending. It's because God puts inside of you. We're not a horror story. We're a happy story. We're a love story. This is a love story. We're in a love story. We love that because we were designed for love. We were designed for intimacy. We were designed for worship. We were designed to know God. We were designed to be loved by God and to love Him and to love each other. It's not very complicated. It's not very complicated. Now, I've taught my kids from when they were little that they've got a love tank. Have you ever told your kids they've got a love tank? You can. It's legal. You can use this, all right? So they've got a love tank, and is there anything more beautiful than loving a child, than hugging someone, or being hugged? When you were a child, you know, you sat in your pajamas, or your dad had that smell about him, and you nestled up against his beard, and you're like, ah. And now you're a parent, you hug your kids, ah. And like, oh, stop it, I love it, stop it, I love it, stop it, I love it. Stop tickling me some more. And there's this beautiful interplay of intimacy. Why? Because that's what God thinks about us. It's this beautiful love interaction between God and His church and His children and the Father and the Son and the Spirit. It's a love story. It's a love story. And the more in love you get, the more the story ends well. Amen. The more love you have, the story ends well, because you cannot be robbed of what God's got for you. No one can take away your destiny. No one can ruin your story. No one can end. It can't end badly for you. Because you've got control over your destiny. And I'm in love. You know, I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Izzy. And I'm in love with you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. And he says, he goes on, and from this story about wine and filling and Holy Spirit and spiritual songs and praise and voices, he goes on to speak about marriage. And he goes on to say this, and he says, wives, submit to your husbands, who's the head of the home. The head of the home, by the way, is the word kephala. It's the word head source, like the source of the river Nile is the head waters. So I'm the source of life to my home. I'm the source of life. If things are not happy at home, it's me. I'm the head of the home. I'm meant to be a source, not the head, not the CEO, not the boss. I'm the headwaters of my home. I pray for my home. I love my children. I love my wife because I'm presenting Christ to them. I'm presenting hope. I'm waking up early before they wake up so I can present them to Christ. Is that good? That's what the head of the house means. And then he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Church is subject to Christ. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, there's a secret. There's a little trigger for you right now. You want a happy life? Love your wife. It's not very difficult. Happy life, love your wife. Happy life, love your wife. How shall I love my wife, you say? I have a clue. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's like, oh, it's so complicated. No, it's very easy. You just lay your life down. I have the final word in my house. I say, yes, dear. That's a joke. But I have laid my life down. It took me a long time to work it out because I was a typical South African male. You know, I'm the man. I'm organized. I know what's going on. And I'm was chauvinistic and actually quite a pain. And I didn't have a happy life. I didn't have a great wife. I didn't have a happy marriage. Why? Because it's my fault. Because the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, how does Christ love the church? Lots. More than I'm loving my wife right now, so I've got room for improvement. Amen? Just like not a very loud amen there. I was expecting to hear like an amen. Amen, brother. Preach that. No, I'm just releasing life to you. You're going to have the best marriages in KwaZulu-Natal. Everyone here is going to have the best marriages. Come on. It can shift like that. You get a revelation of, wow, I can love my wife. You see, we want our wives to submit. So, hey, wife, submit. Wifey, submit. I'm like, no. Husband, love your wife. She'll find it very easy to submit to a man who's loving his wife like Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love. Come on. That's a lot of love. How can I serve you? How can I meet your needs? How can I protect you? How can I pray for you? How do you like your tea? How do you like your coffee? What can I do for you? Do you need more money? Izzy has an anointing for shopping. It's like an anointing. It comes on her. You see, the joy that we feel, it's actually the life of Christ. It's that sense of, we know this is true. Jesus loves the bride. And so the bride needs to be a happy bride. And if we allow ourselves to be loved the way Christ loves us, he's laid down his life, we're going to radiate that love. We're going to radiate that life as the bride. We're the bride. Men, get over it. We're the bride. You know, just get around that somehow. Because in Christ, he's neither male nor female. But he's loving us, church. He's loving us into wholeness. He's loving us into happiness. He's laying his life down. And so in terms of the picture, because he goes on to say this. He says, let's just read with me here. He says, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it as Christ does the church. So what's God doing to us today? He's nourishing, say nourishing, carefully protecting and cherishing us. Isn't that cool? I'm cherished, I'm nourished, I'm protected by Christ. And so I nourish and I protect. And I love my wife. You see, it's this beautiful flow from heaven to earth. Heaven coming to the bride. The bridegroom loving his bride. The bride loving the bridegroom. The bridegroom, me, loving my bride. It's a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. So we love Africa into salvation. They should just think, man, these guys love one another. They love one another. What a love story. We're not grumpy. We're not exacting and looking at people. You look up at this and you look up at that, and I can see you've been up to stuff. We have people come into our services stoned. And they fit in quite well, actually. Sometimes you can't tell the difference. And they're carrying on and they're having their way. And so many have got saved. So many have come in. Addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, and they're chirping from the back, and then 1 or 2 weeks go, and we sing the song of the Lamb, we sing over them, we call them out, we sing over them, we love them. I was thinking one of my sons, he's actually my age, but he's a son in the Lord, and he came into our church, he's Aboriginal, he came in 2 years ago, drunk, for several weeks he came in, and he was like at the back, shut up, da 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 da, and the guys in the back were like, oi, do I take this guy out, but we let him. And then Izzy took him out and she sang the song over him and he just wept like a child. And we heard his story. He never had parents. His parents, father killed himself. His mother was taken away. He was taken to children's home at the age of one. He never saw his family again. I can't even begin to describe what he went through. King's Cross, heroin, the whole story. Now he comes to our church. What does he find? He finds love. He finds prophecy and healing and acceptance and now he's on our staff. Come on. come on. You see, Africa needs love. It needs hope. It needs power. It needs the hope of a loving Christ who hasn't lost his power. He hasn't lost his ability to transfer that love. Everyone who came to Jesus was loved. No one was turned away. They came messy. What did Mary Magdalene look like when she came with her seven demons to church? She looked messy. There was mascara. There was snot. It was embarrassing. She was in the Simon's house. There was perfume. There was mess. And you can either be on the side of Simon the Pharisee, who's like, does Jesus not know who this is? Hello, Jesus. Does he know who this is? He's like, she's come. She's come close. She's come to kiss me. It was extravagance. That's what God's got for us. Extravagance. That's why I love weddings. Because weddings are a picture of Christ and the church. I'm marrying a son of mine soon. Not Jordan, although that might happen sometime soon. But a son in Christ who came into our church. He also had been a hectic. He should have been in prison. And now he's one of the most spiritual men in our church. 2 or 3 years later, I'm marrying him to one of our lovely daughters in the house. 1st of August is his marriage. And you know why I'm looking forward to it? Because it represents transformation and change and hope and generational change. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for life, that the church is bringing in the lost sons. We're looking for the lost sons. We mustn't forget the lost sons. Come on. Mustn't forget the lost sons. Because they haven't yet heard about Christ. They haven't yet seen the joy that we have. We don't need a navel gaze and try and perfect our theology. Our theology can change. We're growing in theology. Amen. We must never disagree with each other. We mustn't have a big argument. You said this. He said that. The Bible says this. Shut up. Do you know how to love the lost? Have you remembered what price Christ paid for them? Can you remember that it was him? It wasn't Paulus. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Finney. It wasn't Rob. It wasn't some apostle. It was Christ that we died for. We're not of this movement, of that man, of that leader. We of this flow. We of that. I don't care what you're of. Just are you of Christ? It's about Christ. It's about the price that he paid. His price was sufficient. It was sufficient for everyone.
You know, I was listening to the scripture and I was thinking about the fact that God is restoring in these days the image of Christ in both man and woman. And I didn't want it to be that tonight is just about marriage, because there's a lot of us that actually aren't going to be married, and that aren't going to be married for a while, and that or might have a spouse that does not believe, and that has to go back to a situation that doesn't change. And what does that look like? And just for the women, I just feel like God is restoring the strength and glory of what's in us, that we're not these victims waiting for men to release us, but that God has put his power and his glory in us. And so many of us wait for permission when God has commissioned us. And, you know, we look at, you know, Mary with seven demons and Mary's own mother who stood and watched her son be crucified, and Mary leaning back into the chest of John when John was the one that had leant his head on the chest of Jesus. And I see the transferal of God's glory on the bride, so that he's messing with our heads a bit, isn't he? I mean, guys have to look at this and go, I'm a bride. And girls have to read the Bible and go, I'm a son. What it's doing is actually restoring the right order of what God's created in us. Because when Adam was put to sleep, he was man. He was fully man. But he had the breath of life in him. And the breath of life was what? Well, God said, let us make them in our image. Male and female will make them. Let us make them in our image. In other words, it wasn't just one image. Are you with me, or are you looking at me strange? Are you still tracking? Are you good? So women are made in the image of God. And, you know, hello? A lot of women aren't terribly excited about that right now. So you're made in the image of God, and you're created with the glory of God on the inside of you. And when God restores the hope and the strength of that, of Christ in you, the hope of glory, you stop thinking of yourself as, oh, you know, do I have the same authority? Do I have the same power? Are we allowed to do this? Are we allowed to do that? And you become empowered by God. And so when it goes on to say, you know, wives, women, like trust. What submit actually means trust. When we learn to trust and yield to God, it's easy to trust people. You know, when we're constantly looking for people to hurt us again, that's what we attract. And we become these victim kind of creatures. And I often, you know, joke about what happened with Adam, you know, that God didn't think, you're just having so much fun, I'm just going to give you somebody who's going to drive you nuts. You know, he put him into sleep and he took out of his side a rib. Now that rib isn't just like a spare rib. It's not just any old rib. It actually was the same word that was used to extend a structure in a palace. It was the wing, the extension. And in that, you know, he said, let us create the male and female. He took something else out. You know how I know that? Because he had to breathe into Adam in order to have life inside his body. It says that he came down and he had roughly squeezed Adam's body and he squeezed him together, shaped him, and then he bent down and he breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life. When he puts Adam to sleep and he says, I'm going to create something else now, he puts him to sleep, he opens up his side and he takes out the rib and he doesn't shape it and then breathe into it. Because I believe that he took breath out and he shaped it around the breath. And you think about the bride being created by the breath of God. That's what the bride is. What is breath? It's spirit. What is spirit? His word. What is word? He was made flesh. What happened to Jesus? They pierced his side. You see, Jesus is really good at keeping us intact and creating us after his own image. And there need never be any fear or confusion about that. There's actually the fullness of freedom. And I believe that as God is restoring the picture of the bride in the church, he's also going to do a simultaneous work in women. Where we're not going to call them up and say, now, we just want to say we're so sorry that you've been abused. We're actually going to call them out and commission and empower and prophesy that the daughters of the land shall not continue to be raped one after the other, but they shall be full of dignity and full of glory. Imagine having so much power in you that even if someone did rape you, people got converted. I mean, I've sat and I've counseled rape victims. I've sat with them. I have had a history myself of sexual abuse. It wasn't rape, but I have understood what it feels like to be confined, to be silenced, to be told you're not allowed to speak about this. And I refused, even as an 18-year-old, to become a victim, or to become that my whole life would be shaped by this awful thing, because I realized that the wounds of Jesus was creating in me something entirely different. I want to live the life that Jesus died for. That's the life I want to live. I don't want to live the life that my culture created for me, because I come from an Italian culture. And, you know, they click fingers and you just got to hop. I want to hop because God's inside of me. I want to hop because I have so much joy, I'll do anything. So that is what I want to appeal to you, is that allow God to shape you. Allow the breath to become what actually fills you and causes you to change countenance, because that's what it's going to do to you. It's going to change your countenance. It's very terrifying for people to hurt you. And I was stuck. I'll just tell you a really quick story because it's... Okay, you rewind it and you'll hear. I was stuck in, by mistake, because we missed our flight from Kenya to Nairobi and we had to go via Mozambique. And we were circled and brought out, the only two people, my son and myself, by the patrol people. And they took us upstairs and they interrogated us in a room and they said, we need you to pay money. And they were asking for bribes. And so we paid a certain amount of money because we thought they won't give us a visa, we won't get out of here. We go out and we get circled by another group of policemen who said, we found things in your bag, you have to come with us. I got so furious. I just thought, I don't care what they do to me. Right now, I want to go home. And I looked at them in the eyes, I said, let me tell you something. I am not afraid of you. I don't know what came over me. I seriously don't know what came. I know, I think it's the Spirit of God. I thought I could get in so much trouble, but the fear of God came on me. And the breath of God came on me. And I said, I am not afraid of you. And let me tell you something else. Let's go to my bag and you'll see there's nothing in it that you can implicate me with. And so I marched ahead of them, and the fear of God came on them. And they started to all like huddle back together, and they went, hey, do you want money? And they started talking, and they changed their minds. They said, no, madam, your bag is fine. We're going to go. When the fear of God comes on you, the fear of God comes on people. When the fear of God comes on you, the angel of the Lord will encamp about you, and you will move around with a vortex of angels that people will sense the presence of. You don't walk around going, I wonder what people are going to do to me. What can man do to me? You're going to walk with a fearless wonder of God, because that's the bride he's coming back for. He isn't just coming for a made-up bride. Like, she's pretty and she rides a side saddle, you know. She's kind of, it's just because we've twisted feminine, we've twisted masculine. And now we can see people like Finn and many others that just weep in God's presence. Well, there's a man called Paddy Munn. He's just gorgeous. He's in Johannesburg. He weeps, and he just breaks my heart when he weeps, because he's so happy. And I go, you see, now that's very masculine. But we've messed with people's heads, and we've forced people to find all kinds of ways of living because they can't discover who the heck they are. Because who says what that's supposed to look like? You see, Jesus sat with women. That was really odd. You weren't supposed to teach women. You know? And the women that went around with him, just Pertini, the woman at the well, she became a mighty evangelist who they couldn't kill her for a long time. She was a martyr in the end. And so God is causing that glory to rise up in the bride. That's how he's expanding us. That's why his spirit is neither male nor female, because we are created in the image and glory of God himself. And you become very sure of yourself, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so God is coming back for a radiant, glorious bride that wants to be married to Jesus. That wants to be married to Jesus. That wants to be one. And that's why this scripture actually goes on to say, you know, actually Paul is speaking about a mystery, and the mystery is Christ and the church. Because when that side was pierced, he was birthing and joining himself forever to us. He was saying, if you would choose me, then you will be mine. If you would say yes, then I'll walk you down the aisle. If you would say yes, you'll be one with me forever. And so I'm just going to hand on to Finn now, and thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. One last thing on the bride. This has reminded me. Brian Simmons is a friend of ours. He's translating the Passion Translation. So he's working his way through songs, Song of Songs, Psalms, the Gospels, Hebrews, Romans. He's a beautiful man of God, an amazing theologian. And he understands Aramaic. He understands Greek. He knows the original languages. He's an incredibly clever guy. And he says that the words that Jesus spoke as he hung on the cross, what did he say? Three words. It is finished. The Aramaic that Jesus spoke, the word was kala. Say kala. Another meaning of the word kala is bride. Come on. So as Jesus hung on the cross, he shouted, bride! He was birthing his bride. Come on. He was birthing the church, his beautiful, beautiful, beautiful African bride. That's what Jesus is doing tonight. So he's resurrecting us. He's causing life. It doesn't matter where you are in your station tonight, God is taking you further. He's inspiring you. He's promoting you. He's activating you. He's activating the prophets. He's activating the women. He's activating the men, because all of us have a part to play. None of us can say we don't need each other. How many know, you know, we need the whole body? We need the whole body. We don't want people retiring. We don't want people sulking. We don't want people just forming little splinter groups. I don't like this. I don't like the church. Hey, get over yourself. The church is messy. Church comprises people like you. I just got quiet there. You know, Jesus is building his church. Just get over it. There's no perfect church. If you find a perfect one, don't join it, because you'll spoil it. Just love the one you're with. Love the one you're in. And people like to say, well, no, we don't need elders anymore. We don't need deacons. Since when? It's like saying we don't need fathers and mothers. You find a family without fathers and mothers, you find chaos. That's like Lord of the Flies stuff. It's like there's no order. I love my family, but there's order. There's mother and father. Like in the Trinity, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Spirit. Beautifully co-equal, yet with very specific roles. That's the body of Christ. Love every part of it. Love the church. Holy. A few quick stories before we pray for the sick tonight. Just to give some testimonies and glory to God so that you can have faith to receive a miracle. How many would like a miracle tonight? That's what we want to see. We want to see God move. And at 7:30, we're going to release those who need to go. We know that some of you have come you have things to go. We want to honor that. And we're going to then, in the next half an hour, we're going to pray for people and allow God to move in power. But I want to begin with 4 weeks ago, I was in Cairns, which is in far north Queensland. A friend of ours is planting a church, and we love to support and get alongside new church plants because it's the body of Christ. Amen. And so we were there with 30 people and launching the church, and then I went back a month ago. So that they launched 30 weeks ago, and I went back a month ago to see how they were doing, to make a visit, to encourage them, pray for them. And on this Saturday evening, we're having a meeting with about 30, 40 people in this university hall. And at the end of my talk, I said, is anyone here in extreme pain? I heard my mouth say that. And because if you announce that, you're going to be tested on that particular word. And it was the Holy Spirit, because there was a woman right in front of me, probably about 40 years old, and she came forward and she said, look, I could hardly make it through the meeting. I've been in such excruciating pain. I've been in pain for 9 months. I'm on some sort of medication for it, but it doesn't bring any relief. I can't move. I can't sit. I can't be in meetings. And I said, well, sit down. And I sat down and I measured her legs in front of the whole church. And I said, look, you guys want to be a witness, come and watch a miracle, because this woman's going to get healed. And God's going to do something to ignite this church in signs and wonders. It's going to be planted in signs and wonders. And I heard my mouth say that as well. And then I prayed for her, and fortunately God showed up and her leg grew. She stood up and she was shocked, and she was 100% healed. Come on. And that was Saturday night. Sunday morning, we had their Sunday morning service, and I obviously went to her straight away. I said to her, how are you doing today? Because sometimes in the meeting, in the excitement, you can feel better, and then you can regress. And she said, look, I woke up this morning for the first time free of pain. And she said, not just that. She said, I had a female complaint that I've had for several years that was healed as well. Come on. So the following week, I was in Brisbane ministering at Catherine and Ola's church, and it's a beautiful church. And again, we had a lot of people coming for prayer at the end of the service, and I happened to end up in front of someone who I said, what's your condition? And she said, well, I've been in pain for 9 months. She said, I'm on morphine. I've got a slipped disc. I've got a crushed thing in my spine, and I can hardly, move, and I need a miracle today. And I sat her down, prayed for her, and I told her the story of what happened in Cairns, and she was instantly healed. Come on. There and then, she grabbed the microphone and she told the whole 400 people there that night. She said, I am 100% better. I am free of pain. The following week, I was back in Sydney, and a friend of mine owns a cafe just around the church, around the corner from the church. I'm trying to get through this really quickly, and I hope that you can hear what I'm saying, because I'm trying to get through this. But it brings glory to God. Amen. And so I'm in the cafe, and I can see him. His name's Sam. He's Italian. He's bending over. He's in pain. I said, Sam, what's the problem? He said, well, for 5 months, I did my back in, and I can hardly. He looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He was absolutely in pain. He'd been to chiropractors. He'd been for massage, and he had tried sports therapy. He'd tried everything. Nothing was making him better. I said, Sam, look, well, I was in Cairns. I was in Brisbane. I told him the stories, because he's not a Christian. He has to hear that God actually loves people. Amen. God loves non-Christians. Have you ever discovered that? Just as much as Christians. He loves the world, apparently. And so I said, Sam, let's go in the back of the kitchen of the cafe. And I'll pray for you. So I sat him down. I measured his legs. His leg grew. He stood up. He was like, he was shocked. Because, church people know how to respond when God moves. He wasn't sure how to respond. He was like, no, it really does feel better. I said, no, I know it does. Does it feel good? Does it feel better? He was like, yeah, feels really good. So I went back a few hours later and I checked up on him. He was better the following morning. He had a little bit of a regression. He went to go and see the guys with the needles. What are they called? Acupuncture. I said, but don't go there. That's the dark side. Mom, that costs you $100. I'm free, My therapy's free. Anyway, I prayed for him again and he was 100% healed. And his wife, Rose, she's a really good friend of mine. And she was beaming from ear to ear. Now he's going around serving lunches, and I'm in the restaurant eating lunch, and he's telling the mate who I was meeting with, he said, if it wasn't for this bloke, he said, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to work. And he's standing completely straight, completely his shoulders back. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. So we're in Johannesburg last week, and I told a few stories like that, and then a woman, I said, who here is in extreme pain? And a woman immediately in the front row, she jumps up, and I said, what's your condition? She said, I had an epidural 4 years ago that went completely messed up. I've been in pain for 4 years. I thought, yay, God. Now you can show your glory. I sat her down. I measured her legs. She was instantly healed. 100%. She was touching her toes. She was dancing around like a complete child. Come on. So now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. So we're going to pray for some folk tonight. Who's here in extreme pain? In your back. Come on. Well, watch out. Come on. Who's in pain? James? Oh, yeah, of course. The three of you, come out. We're going to pray for you. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Just give me a seat. I need a chair. Come on. James always gets nailed first. Come on. James the first. What happened to you, James? What's happened? Disc. All right. We've got a disc problem here. All right. So, if you have never seen this before and you've never witnessed, then you can't be a witness if you haven't seen something. All right, so if you want to see it, you can just crowd around. I mean, we got, you know, just have a look. Then we're going to see God do something. Put your shoes back on, James, because then I can measure it easier. Just put your shoes back on. Thank you, Father. Now, you need to relax your legs. I know it might hurt, but I'm just going to hold your legs. I want to hold the weight, all right? Why I'm doing this in public is because you meant to do this at home. All right, this is, you got to practice this. You got to see it. You're still tensing your legs, James. Let them go floppy. A bit more. 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 They're still a bit tight. Just relax. Just relax. Just relax. Just hold your palms towards heaven. Just hold your palms towards heaven. That's better. Just relax. All right, I just went, if you can't see it, his left leg is about an inch shorter than the other one. All right? Fire, right through his spine, Lord. Fire, right through his spine. Right through this whole left side, Lord. Just loosen this disc. Loosen all pain. Loosen all pain in Jesus' name. Loosen the pain, loosen the pain. Loosen the muscles, loosen the bone. Loosen this whole hip, Father. I thank you, Lord, right now. Fire, 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 fire. Right through his spine, right through, right through. Won't be the same. No delay. Won't be the same. No delay. Won't be the same. No delay. Shapare ke si ta kande se ki ki ta kusoto buta. Prema se ndi kila. Thank you, Father. 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 Okay, this one, just hold up. Just want you to look up here now. Just come and look, those of you who saw this, because now the heels are completely the same. See that? See that now? Thank you, Father. So, Father, we just pray you'll finish this work. Finish this work. I still feel there's more release needed. More release needed. The full fire, the full glory, Lord. We want to see James running, playing squash, running, running for God, running for God. Touch every part of him, Lord. His soul, his body, his mind, his emotions, Lord. Do a new work. Lord, you're doing a new thing in him tonight. You're doing a new thing. This is a sign. This is a sign that, James, your time's not over. Your time's not done. You're a son. 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 You're an heir. You're a co-heir. You're a good father. You're a good father and you're a good son. In Jesus' name, I release life to you. Life to you. Life to you. Life to you. Life. I say you will live. You will live. Ha ha. Wherever the river goes, you're going to live. Ha 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 ha. Thank you, Father. 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 All right, James, what did you feel happening when you were being prayed for?
Then I know my glutes are always tight, and the legs are tight. But towards the end, that whole tightness that holds your leg is not tight. In other words, I couldn't go like that easily because all of that's tight. And now it's relaxed. I can feel. It's just.
Thank you, Lord. Now just stand up and let's just try it out. You need to be totally honest. We've got no pressure here. How do you feel? You couldn't do that before?
Normally, I can't get past my knees.
Seriously.
Come on. The Lord wanted to help you to bow down before His throne. Thank you, Father. Just release your fire into James, Lord. This is His time. This is His time. This is His time. He's refiring you. You took early retirement. Now it's refirement. This is your time, James. This is your time. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. And you can have your joy back. It's free. You can have all your joy back. Have all your joy back. Have all your joy back. Thank you, Father. 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 Does that feel good? Holy. How many of you saw that happen? Did you see that? Come on. See, now what you are, you're witnesses. And Jesus sent out His disciples and said, go and be my witnesses. Well, often we don't witness because we've seen nothing. How can you be a witness if you haven't witnessed anything? But when you witness something, it becomes self-propelling. It becomes prophetic. You can do it again. And I want you guys to do this. Do it with your friends. Do it on people, your neighbors. Hey, let me try this. Put your shoes on. Let me do it. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? Nothing happens. That's the worst. You look like an idiot. You're like, okay, sorry. Having a bad day. And it happens all the time. We have people we pray for, they don't get better, they get worse. We've had people die on us. If we it wasn't funny. I didn't tell you that before. If we can't take the glory for them getting healed, why should we take the blame if they don't? Only God can give the increase. Only God can bring the miracle. Only God can actually heal a back. Only God can take cancerous tumors and despair them. We can't do that. So I don't feel bad. I feel sorry for them if they don't get healed. But I just say, hey, we'll try again. We'll pray again. We'll try and build their faith. We tell more stories. You know, this is not a science. This is just kids having fun. This is just God's kids trying to make the bride look more beautiful and try and help them live pain-free. That's what our heart is, to help the bride live pain-free. Come on. That's our heart. That's our heart. That's our heart. That's our heart. So now when James gets himself together, we're gonna all pray for these guys. Everyone who needs prayer is going to get prayed for, but it's not going to be me now. We're going to do it together. All right? It's not good equipping to do all the work of the ministry. I've got to equip you guys to do the work of the ministry. So who else needs prayer? So put up your hands. All right, so let's form a line of people who need prayer so we can properly allocate them, people to pray for them. Clearly, I'm not going to be enough. James is going to be praying for you because he's had a miracle now. Just chatting to Steve, you know, the meeting is going to get a bit messy now. And if you need to go, that's entirely fine. You're welcome to watch. You're welcome to linger. You're welcome to come and check it out. We'd love the whole of the highway team to come and pray with us now. We'd love some of the visiting pastors who are from other churches. We need all the help we can get. And just let's loosen some love on these folk. Ministry team, I need a team. Come, guys. Jane, Grant, come on. The Marats, are you out of retirement? Come on. Let's go. Let's pray. Come on. Tracy, come on, let's get involved. Let's form a long line, just so there's space between you. We know who's wanting prayer, so we can properly minister to you in power. The whole Highway team, come on, guys, let's. Yes, Izzy wants to pray for fire over here. You describe what you want to say.
I just feel like some of you may be wanting prayer, but you're saying there's nothing actually physically wrong and I can't make it up because I'm a Christian. So if you want to come and you just want to be filled or touched by Holy Spirit and just, you know, we spoke about that hunger and just say, God, I'm hungry for more. That's my passion. I just want to see people more in love with Jesus. And so we might not prophesy over everybody, but we have a bit of a team that are going to pray for that. And, you know, specifically, even if you're songwriters, if you're worship leaders, if you're people that just want to release that sound and songs like Finn was saying, then come across to this side, right across here. Can I just have some of the team to come and help me this side? Those who resonate with what I'm talking about here, just about five or six of you.